Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
You don't have to do that. It is right here. It is right now.
Love so strange. Said you never know.
How you doing today, Brandon Stokely?
Well, I try my best. Hey,
I'm doing great. What's going on out there?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on over here.
To blame and hide the truth.
There's something going on there?
Yeah. It's checking out the fire alarms or something.
Oh.
Smoke detectors,
oh.
I think. Just a different,
There was a look of concern on
your
face.
Well, I mean,
like,
guy rolls up on me with a big stick and, got a mask on and, so I'm like, what's going on here, right? Crazy world right now.
Crazy world.
And then he puts it up there to the smoke thingy and I guess he's testing it out.
All right.
So that was the hesitation. I'm doing great, man.
What's going on, dude?
See the gear. You see, I got the gear on.
I see you.
You know what that means. It's going to be a good day. Had a great day yesterday. That was so much fun out there.
So
Slattery's, appreciate them. Great spot there on the DTC.
Shout out.
Representing, they're great supporters of our station, but also our show.
Right.
Just like Brothers Barbecue,
you know,
those two spots. I mean,
I'm getting Brothers for dinner tonight.
Oh, look at you. Are you actually paying for it?
No, still some leftover on the card. Stretching that thing out. Hey, our guy Charles at Slattery's yesterday, that came up to us at the end when we were sitting down.
Yes.
A big time listener says he listens to every single day. He said, if there's a shout out, I'm going to hear it because I don't miss a second of your guy's show.
There you go.
So
there you go.
Big shout out to Charles.
Yeah. Yeah. Appreciate him coming by and saying hi. So that was a fun time yesterday. We got to hang out afterwards for a little bit.
Yeah.
And so that was fun.
Oh, my God. You talk about hysterical. We hung out at, I had one foot out the door.
Yeah.
All right. And Stoke has like rare, he's got like a Jedi thing that sometimes works, sometimes doesn't, with trying to get me to do something I don't want to do.
Yes.
And I had it in my head. I'm like, you're going to go home. You're going to have the house for an hour to yourself. You're going to exercise, get a sweat.
Yeah, you're going to get some exercise. That's what you wanted to do. That's what you said. Well, I really need to go home and exercise. Like, you didn't say work out. You said exercise. I thought that was a little bit
because
different.
I'm going for a long walk.
Okay,
I get the drive in my ear, go for a long walk, stop, do some push-ups.
Right.
Maybe break stride.
Do the burpees.
Yeah.
Fast walk, slow walk, burpees, like, push-ups.
And you're there like, you thinking about having a drink? Well, let's have a drink. This is a day for drink. I said, no. And Sal, our sales guy, is like, yeah, come on, you stay. Yeah, but I hadn't seen Sal in a year or whatever. And I'm like, ah, screw it. So there we were having pops, and the Rockies game's on.
How about that?
So we were talking about on the air. This was a riot. We're talking about on the air before the game, like, we're on the Rockies. Like, they're not going to get swept against a bad Rangers team. They played them tough twice. And I put it out on Twitter, like, I'm not only like betting the Rockies, I'm laying the run and a half.
Right.
I know they're 17-50, but they're going to get to 18 wins today. Kyle Freeland gets hurt in the first inning.
Did we ever find out what happened to him?
No, I don't. We'll follow up on it here in a second, or we won't. But in the second inning, like, he doesn't come out, and they hang 5 runs on the board. It is 5-0. Like, the goose is cooked. You're done. And in my world, it's 6.5-0. I'm like, there's no way. This is a disaster, of course. And the Rockies just chip away. They go into the ninth inning. It is 5-4. And the Rockies score 5 runs in the top of the ninth because the Rangers are just, it looked like Little League.
Bad news bears.
Chucking that ball all over the place.
2 errors from the first baseman.
Yes.
From the first baseman.
Yes.
2 errors.
Yes.
Throwing them, like you said, it looked like the Bad News Bears.
Right fielder didn't know what was going on. And the Rockies just kept on going around the bases. And they get, think about this. Who gets down 5-0 and wins 9-5? It was the most improbable.
Certainly not the Rockies.
Certainly not the worst team of all time. It was hysterical. And we were there, and our guy, Soup, who wants to be called Soup, the JV basketball coach at Grandview, came out to say hello to us, and he's watching the game. And we're getting caught up, and he's like, Z, they're coming around. I'm like, holy crap, what is happening?
It was like every 5 seconds something crazy was happening.
It's just so funny, man. But we had a blast, and it was a great afternoon. Yeah. And
the Rockies won, which made it even better. And that was, you know, 5-4, one out, nobody on in the ninth. It was over.
Yep.
It was over.
Yep.
And certainly when you're laying the 1.5, it's over. But it wasn't.
There they were, man. Like the Undertaker. Like just rising up from the dead, man.
Fun afternoon.
Too funny. Jeff Vollmer on Twitter, is asking me about, hey, you guys gonna do Blake Street Taverns, on Fridays? Not confirmed yet, but it sounds like it's moving in that direction. So, hopefully we'll bring you some good news maybe even later today. So, all right, man. All right, here we go. We are just, Stoke, how about this? I can smell the weekend from here.
Yeah.
It smells glorious. I think it's a 3-day weekend here.
Oh, that's right. We got Monday off.
We come back on Tuesday. It's game week, man.
Kind of want to make it a 4-dayer.
Oh, yeah?
Kind of.
Are we not going to see you tomorrow?
No, you're going to see me. I thought about it. I had an invite, but then the invite was rescinded. So.
Oh, rescinded.
Quick rescind. So.
Did they upgrade?
No, definitely not. Didn't upgrade. Just filled the vacancy. So. I'm in tomorrow.
Right,
but I did think about it this morning. I did. I was like, ooh, maybe that, you know, 10 o'clock golf round sounds pretty good tomorrow,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm here for you.
Listeners
I'm here
need
for you,
man.
Yeah, they need me. I'll be here.
All right.
I think.
Okay.
I hope. You just never know.
We're going to monitor the situation.
You never know. But it looks like a great weekend. Labor Day weekend, right?
Yeah, man. And what I have here in front of me, you know what I have here in front of me in my hands right now?
What do you have?
I have the spreads on every single game as it stands right now. Obviously, these will change throughout the year.
Sure.
With health and quarterbacks and this and that. Teams rising, teams falling. But right now, I have the preseason spread for every single game of the Denver Broncos season.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the first three. Now,
I haven't seen it. I know the first one, you know, is, you know, the Broncos are favored by like 2.5.
It's 2.5.
Okay, I saw that, but I haven't seen all the rest of them, so I'm kind of interested to maybe guess and kind of see where they're at.
Okay, let's do that.
I love this game.
So we know the Broncos go to MetLife, some call it JetLife, a stadium there in the Meadowlands. Just as a reminder, the Buffalo Bills are the only team that plays in New York State. These guys play in New Jersey.
That's right.
Giants play in New Jersey.
I lived there for a few weeks.
Yeah, a few weeks, right?
Like 3 weeks. It was.
You live right down there in Jersey?
Yeah, like literally 5, 6, 7 minutes from the stadium.
Okay.
Miserable.
Yeah?
Yeah, one of the more miserable times. It was only 3 weeks, though, but it was.
You were alone, right?
Yeah. Solo, just trying to find a place to stay after the first week of the season. I signed with them. Don't really know anybody.
What about Eli?
No, I knew Eli, but, okay. You know, that's why I said don't really know any. You know, I knew Eli, but that was really it. And then you're staying in Jersey. I'm not a Jersey guy. Like, I'm not a Northeast guy. It's just different living out there, you know. You roll up to the gas station. I think they have to pump the gas for you or something.
Yeah, in New Jersey, they have to pump the gas for you.
It's just a lot of weird stuff, right? Yeah, it's just a lot of weird.
And then you feel like guilty. You got to give them a tip. Like, these guys want a tip. It's awful.
And you're just like, hey, man, I just want to put $3 in my tank real quick.
Right.
That's it, buddy.
Right. I mean, I got to give you.
Right. Can I just do it myself, please? Just $3.50, and you can keep the other 25, 50 cents. There you go, buddy. But it was weird. It was weird. It was odd. Different, you know, when you're not there in the offseason, you don't get a vibe of where to be, where not to be.
Right.
And then it was cut short. But I was out there. Yeah, I was right there by the stadium.
So we know when they go there, the Broncos are a slight favorite. Just a tick less than a field goal against the Giants, which is significant because we know road teams, typically, you're going to get 3 points out of the gate as a visiting team.
Are you surprised?
No, I'm not. I'm not surprised. The Giants you know, Their overall record was not good. We've talked about this, but they won. What did they win? I think five of their last eight or something. They were really tough. They were very competitive and scrappy down the stretch.
Yeah.
But their offensive line, I think, is a mess. They had a guy retire during training camp.
They had like two.
Saquon Barkley's not all the way back.
Yeah. I'm surprised, though. I am surprised that it's 2.5. I think that's a lot. I thought it maybe would be a pick 'em. You know, maybe Broncos favored by one at the most.
I think it was at one point. I thought it was a pick 'em at one point.
That to me is a lot going on the road, first game of the season. I don't know. New quarterback starting in Teddy Bridgewater, and to me that's a lot of points for the Broncos to be giving on the road.
Yeah. So that's game one. Try to guess what the line is week two, Broncos going to Jacksonville.
To Jacksonville. If it's 2.5 for them going to the Giants, I think the Giants are a much better team than Jacksonville. You know, I got it right now between the 5 and the 6.5, 7 range is kind of where I'm thinking.
Whoa!
Is that too high? Well, I'm going to settle on. I mean, you acting like that was too high. I mean, Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville is going to stink this year, Zach.
But the Broncos coming off a 5-11 season on the road, laying a touchdown to anyone, I don't think adds up.
Well, I'm going 6 points.
Okay. Right now it's at 1.5. Broncos are 1.5-point favorite.
Let me open that Bet Rivers account right now. Well, explain this to me. Just explain this to me. Do you think the Giants are a better team than Jacksonville?
I do.
I do, too, by a lot. And Jacksonville has a rookie quarterback. They have a rookie NFL head coach. Mm-hmm. They look like a mess during preseason. Now, they played pretty well in that last game against the Cowboys, but, you know, Cowboys weren't playing anyone. And they're favored by less points against the Jags than they are against the Giants.
Correct.
I don't get that. I'm confused, brother.
You know, the more you talk about it, I didn't really sit down and dwell on it, but you talking about it right now doesn't quite add up,
does it?
No, it doesn't quite add up.
Like, why?
Traditionally, the Broncos...
Double hammer. Uh-oh. Coming out. Double hammer. I like it. Hey, follow Stoke on this one. I'm on it.
This
I'm
is
on
back-to-back
it.
East Coast starts.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm just giving context. I'm not saying you're wrong.
No, I like the context because now it's like, okay.
Because traditionally, you know, when the Broncos fly back east in that early start, they have struggled. Now, obviously, there's plenty of examples where they haven't, but just traditionally.
So I shouldn't double hammer it?
No.
Is that what you're telling me?
No, do your thing. Take out the sledge.
Yeah?
Take out the sledge if you want.
I mean, what do you think?
I like the Broncos in that spot. I like the Broncos
in that
spot.
I love the Broncos in that spot. But, yeah, you're right. You know, you have to take a step back and say, why?
Right.
Why? Why is it 2.5 against the Giants and 1.5 against the Jags? Giants are a better football team than the Jags.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say. Like, if you probably go look at their win totals for the year, I bet the Giants' win total is higher than the Jags. I would just guess. I don't know.
I don't want to get too far with the assumptions because they got a good running game in James Robinson, who just splashed on the scene, undrafted 10,000 yard guy. You got a Laviska Shenault who is healthy and could be a problem child. I'm not going to talk myself.
You're trying to hype up the Jags. Like I got it.
I'm not trying to hype up the Jacksonville Jags.
Yeah, they're an NFL team. They got some good players, and right? They got some good defenders, too.
I don't want to get caught in an assumption that the Broncos can beat, you know, like...
Hammer.
All right. Then you get to week three.
Okay.
New York Jets here at home.
Shoot. I mean, I was way off on this last one. But I'm thinking the same darn thing, right? I mean, I'm thinking 5-7 again. But that one shocked me, so I'm not going to go as high as I want to.
Go with your gut.
6.5.
5.5.
Okay.
So right there in that wheelhouse.
Okay.
So this is one of the reasons I brought this up here. When is the last time, I tweeted this past week.
Uh-oh.
When is the last time that the Denver Broncos were favored in 3 consecutive games?
Ooh.
I'm being serious question. 3 consecutive games that the Denver Broncos were supposed to win, expected to win.
Wow. That would probably have to be 2016.
That was my guess.
You know, the year after the Super Bowl, They were 9-7. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a nice stretch there early, and they collapsed late. But yeah, I would probably say 2016. But it's been a while.
Okay.
And maybe I'd have to go back and look at that schedule. But that's kind of, if not, it'd probably be 15.
So 2016, it was. You remember who they had first? You remember who they had first?
Ravens?
Nope.
Oh, that must have been 15.
It's coming off the Super Bowl 50.
That just no, I don't.
They opened with Carolina.
Oh,
we just talked about this the other day.
That's right.
Where like
the night game.
Yes.
Darian Stewart.
Thursday night. Darian Stewart laying the wood on Cam.
Never been the same since.
Nope. But it was a narrow margin of victory. 21-20 is the final score.
I think they missed the last second field goal,
If my recollection is recalling correctly.
Yeah, I think they drove down there late.
And so once in a while you surprise me. Every once in a while. Missed field goal to end the game.
Yeah, I was at that game. That was a fun one to watch.
Yeah, it was probably 2016. That would be my guess. But this speaks to the expectation early in the season here. It speaks to like getting off to a fast start. You got the Giants, the Jags, and the Jets, a combined 9-39 a year ago. This is the easiest first portion of a schedule that I can remember for really any team. I mean, this is as cupcake as it gets to start the season. Should the expectation be 3-0? Should that be the expectation?
I think that should be the hope. Expectations for me is 2-1. That's my expectations. The hope is 3-0. But, you know, it's been bad. I don't want to, you know, all of a sudden, you know, get these high expectations or higher than maybe what they should be just because we're favored in games, just because, you know, you look at this roster overhaul and some of these players going into year two, year three, it should be much better. This defensive money being spent, right? I mean, I don't want to get too overboard here, but I think that should be the hope. Expectations for me is 2-1.
This is Mark Schlereth this morning talking about this very topic.
Based upon what you did this preseason, based upon all the buzz, even nationally, that your defense is getting, if you don't come out of this 3-0, it's a disappointment.
All right. And they're all must-win.
I mean, well, think about it. You lose. The Giants right now are a mess. They've got all kinds of injuries. I mean, they're trading for offensive linemen. They've been bad. Their quarterback is in a prove-it year. He turns the ball over too much. Saquon Barkley may not play. I mean, Mike, this is legit. The Jets, come on. Rookie head coach, rookie quarterback. I mean, if the Jets win 5 games, you probably go, hey, man, they've really improved. And the Jags? Urban Meyer is making decisions on COVID tests right now. He's getting all kinds of grief. They're not a very talented football team. Yeah, if you don't come out of September 3-0, that's going to be a disappointment.
Okay, I mean, that's...
He's got some good points there.
No, he does, and that's fair. Like, if you want to look at it that way, I'm not going to say you're wrong. I just look at it a little bit differently. I think 3-0 is, like I said, my hope. Expectations, can't be worse than 2-1. You know, have to be at least 2-1. That's kind of, if you're 2-1, I'm like, okay, all right, solid start here. You know, we got to remember we hadn't won a September game in a couple years here. Right. 0-7, Vic is. So let's not get too ahead of ourselves here and put the expectations too high. But the Broncos, you know, should they be 3-0? I mean, should they?
I mean,
is that
honestly, Stoke? Look, you know, for the reasons that Mark mentioned, and you got to think about the Broncos' defense. This is the most expensive defense in the league. It's the most expensive secondary
last year.
By
it was
a mile
last year.
Yes, but I mean, this is a fully healthy group.
Yeah,
it's a fully healthy group right now. The Giants should not be able to move the ball on a regular down-to-down basis over the course of a 60-minute game against this defense. And then you look at the injuries. Like, Saquon Barkley's been banged up. Kenny Galladay's been banged up. Darius Slayton, the wide receiver, has been banged up. Evan Engram, tight end, has been banged up. Their guard, Shane Lemieux, has been banged up. The linebacker they got, Blake Martinez, he's been banged up. Their cornerback, Adoree Jackson. I mean, they are going through it this preseason. You have Daniel Jones. I mean, this is what I'll say. You are going with Teddy Bridgewater at the quarterback position to win games against the New York Giants week one.
That's right. You're right. You're absolutely right. I don't follow the Giants, during training camp to know what injuries they have. You heard Slaris say it. You just brought up all those names. I mean, these are, names that aren't, if they're not on the football field, they severely hurt your chances of winning. Will Saquon play? Will he not play? I mean, has he had a setback or something? Or he's just kind of, they're taking it slow with him?
Taking it slow.
I'm expecting to see this guy play, though. It probably not like his normal amount of reps, but I'm expecting to see this guy play a lot, Saquon Barkley. So the rest of those guys, I saw Ingram. I just saw it, when they were playing. I saw him hobbling off the field during their last preseason game. So saw that. I don't know about those other two, receivers that you're talking about. If they'll be healthy, will they be back or won't they be back? Obviously that's a big deal. Blake Martinez, a really good linebacker, played for the Packers for a while, signed with the Giants in free agency. A lot of people want him to, Broncos to get him here. So that guy's a really good football player. But still, we'll see if those guys get healthy or not. It is a road game. This thing is a road game. It's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one that it's going to be a close one. It's going to come down to the last 4 or 5 minutes of the football game. And, I don't know, if our defense is on the field, can they close it out finally? Like, can we get a close out here?
That'd be nice.
Offensively, can you go down there and maybe get a field goal here? So, but this thing is going to be, the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game. That's what it's going to come down to. Can you get a couple first downs and run out the clock? Something like that. And it's going to be a one possession game. And, hopefully the Broncos can, finish it off one way or the other, offensively or defensively. But, I mean, do you see it breaking down any other way? I mean, it's going to be – I just can't picture the Broncos winning by more than a touchdown here.
I think that – well, no, I can picture that.
You can?
I can. Daniel Jones has a real turnover issue. And I could see this defense being smothering to that Giants offense.
That would be nice.
So I think it's either like Broncos by a score – Broncos by a hair or the Giants by a hair. I can't see the Giants, winning this game by 7 or 10 points.
No. I said, do you see the Broncos winning it by more than a score?
Yeah.
You said yes, but then you said I could see the Broncos winning by a touchdown. Then you said I could see the Broncos winning by a hair. Then you could, so you never said one of those scenarios that you said the Broncos won by more than 7.
Yeah, so I guess I'm disagreeing with myself 30 seconds ago.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
See what I got to deal with here? See? I mean, unbelievable. And then he'll come in here on Monday and say, I told you, I nailed it.
Hey, we got the audio.
I know it. I nailed it. I knew the Broncos would win by more than 7. I told you that. Told you that 2 weeks ago. Save that audio. Richie, you got that audio for Zach?
Oh, man.
Perfect.
That is great. But I'll say this, man. Like, yes, I could see the Broncos getting tripped up by the Giants. I cannot see it week 2 or week 3. Both of those games, if the Broncos are going to win more games than they lose, they have to win weeks 2 and 3. Like, end of discussion. You can't beat the 1-15 Jags with a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback.
Why is the point spread so low? Well, that's what scares me.
Well, Richie said it's bumped up to 2.5, so it's probably being bet up by people like you.
Oh, my goodness. See?
So
I probably just got that line moved.
Maybe so. But look, if you can't beat a 1-15 team with a rookie, I don't care how good we think Trevor Lawrence is or going to be. If you can't beat the 1-15 Jags with a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback, I don't care if they're playing in Jacksonville, Florida. I don't care if they're playing on the moon. You have to win that game.
Yes.
And I could see blowout city against the New York Jets.
Yeah.
So this first game is of the utmost importance. And the fact that it's only, what are we talking, 10 days away from now?
If you get that first one, you're 3-0. And if you don't, and if you're not 3-0, if you get that first one, man, that would be a big shame. But that first one's huge because you better win the next two. But if you could find a way to get that first one, you're 3-0.
Yeah?
Yep.
Well, here we go, man. We don't have to wait much longer. This is awesome that we're this close to it. It's been a long off season, and you know, gone through every phase of it and exhausted these conversations out. And here we go, man. It's coming into focus here. It's coming into focus. All right, big day at the Bai household, by the way, Stokes.
Yeah?
First day of preschool.
Oh, how about that?
First day of preschool, dropped my son off, and he didn't even look around. He didn't even look backward. He went right in there, and we had to go into the room to say goodbye. He's just, like, ready to roll.
He's used to it, though. Right? I mean, he's used to, like,
yeah, he
dropped
off. Yeah, he goes to, like, a daycare
right.
place, but so, this is all new faces and
yeah.
a new
yeah,
place.
He's a social kid.
Yeah, he is.
He had me running around that damn baseball stadium. Wore me out. Like, dude, we just reconnected here. It's been so long.
He thinks you're there every night. Every time the Rockies, we got the Rockies on every night. Yeah. Stokely's at the game. Stokely and Carson, they're there. Can we go?
Love it. That's awesome, though. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yep. All right. We got two nervous parents. I've already called just to check in. He's doing all right. All right.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Come on.
Didn't eat enough at lunch, I guess. All right. We are a little over a week before Broncos-Giants, and one Bronco with an injury history is once again not practicing today. How alarmed are we? Details next.
I just can't picture the Broncos winning by more than a touchdown here.
I can picture that.
You can?
I can. I think it's either like Broncos by a score, Broncos by a hair, or the Giants by a hair.
No. I said, do you see the Broncos winning it by more than a score?
Yeah, so I guess I'm disagreeing with myself
yeah,
30 seconds ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
We just have a little bit over a week before the Broncos will have their cleats in the grass in the Meadowlands. Broncos Giants. And one Bronco with a bit of an injury history is once again not practicing. And the guy I'm talking about is Bradley Chubb. Bradley Chubb apparently has hurt his ankle. And this entire week, from the sounds of it from Vic Fangio, this week is going to be dedicated for Bradley getting that ankle right. This is the opposite ankle that he had surgery on this past offseason. This is...
Same story, different year, it seems like.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, just not ideal, once again. Don't want to overreact when you don't really quite know what it is. And, you know, is it just one of those things where you just rolled it a little bit? They're just taking precaution here and everything's going to be fine. I mean, I know you probably want them on the shelf here for 4 weeks. Let's make sure, you know, like last year.
Week 9.
Yeah, week 9. Okay.
Week 9,
he
can come back.
Yeah. Be ultra conservative. Look, I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to overreact to it. I don't know how bad this thing is, but it's a concern at the same time. I mean, you need Bradley Chubb on the football field to be a part of this defense if you're trying to take that next step. I mean, what do we want to see? We want to see Chubb and Miller on the field together.
Right.
Both of them, like, 100%. And, you know, is that going to be the case? I mean, I see Clisson tweaked his ankle last week. Well, what does that mean? I mean, that could mean a wide range of things for me. I mean, is it like a high ankle sprain? Did he just kind of barely roll it and they're being cautious, right? So there's a wide range here until I know exactly what it is. I'm a little concerned, but I'm not overly concerned. I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
Well, you know, there's history here. So something for Bradley Chubb, my alarms ring off just a little bit differently, as if it were different than, say, Shelby Harris, right? Like, it's just there's more to draw from that would lead me to be concerned. So, yeah, I am concerned because it's Bradley Chubb. And when Vic said, this week is about getting that ankle right, then he was asked, hey, if the game was this week, he said, if the game was this week, would Bradley Chubb play? And he said, I don't know. So, like, you know, should he be ready to go in 10 days? Yeah. Is he going to be 100% in 10 days? Because they say, you know, you guys as former NFL guys say, like, the only time you're 100% is before you play your first game. You're just constantly like, the maintenance of staying right. So if you're not 100% before the first game starts, well, that reminds me of seasons past with Bradley Chubb.
Yeah. You know, the fact that Vic didn't say, he would play. That gives me concern there. It's more of a concern because it is Bradley Chubb, his injury history. And, you know, same thing happened to him last year with the knee. You know, and it wasn't this close to the season, I don't think, but they had the scrimmage down there. Mm-hmm. He tweaked his knee. You know, they're just going half speed, and he ended up being able to play every game, but that's not ideal. That's not what you want. You know, you want to keep the momentum going of what you have accomplished in training camp and keep your conditioning. All those things start to suffer when you have these little tweaks and stuff. Your conditioning, how sharp you are, all of those things. So, We need Bradley Chubb here. Need him to be playing, you know, close to 100%. And what will this look like here, you know, first game of the season? Hopefully it's nothing. And hopefully we don't talk about it again. And it's just kind of like, just a little baby roll.
Right.
Ankle.
Right.
Wasn't that big a deal. Look at him, you know, got that sack in that first game against Daniel Jones.
That's the hope.
But at the same time, like you said, it is Bradley Chubb and that makes it a concern.
Yeah, and it's going to be a concern until it's naturally not one. Like, we talked about this with Michael Porter Jr. Like, we talked about Michael Porter Jr.'s health a lot early in his career. And then it just sort of drifted away. Like, we didn't have, like, some big segment like, oh, Michael Porter Jr.'s healthy again. He just kept on showing up game after game and played basketball. And that story just became a non-story.
Yep.
And until we reach that point with Bradley Chubb, we're going to be more sensitive to his injury history because it's a real one. So, again, a lot of people right now on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, they're voicing their concern for sure.
Are they?
Yeah. And there's some people who are, taking it a little bit too far. It says, just admit the guy's injury prone and therefore a bust. Not ready to go there.
No.
Not ready to go there yet.
They hadn't missed a game this year, right? I mean, football, like, things can happen. I mean, just because you rolled your ankle, I mean, not going to all of a sudden say, you're a bust. He needs to have a good year there.
Yes, he does.
I mean, that's the expectations. He needs to be a double-digit sack guy. He needs to stay healthy. He needs to produce. They've already picked up his fifth-year option. He's got to go out there and do it now on the football field and really produce like he did his rookie season. Yeah. We haven't seen that.
No.
You know, we haven't seen that next step. It's kind of been, put in reverse here, had the injury. This is a year to get that thing, going back in the right direction.
Yeah, this should be the year. This should be the year where Bradley Chubb is wrecking football games.
Yes.
This is the fifth overall pick. All right. A season ago, I know he had the title of Pro Bowl. We kind of agree on this one. He had the title of Pro Bowl, but look, he didn't lead your own team in sacks in a year that Von Miller didn't play.
Yeah.
This was the fifth overall pick. The phrase that was constantly associated with Chubb was generational, and it had a great start to it, but it has not been as advertised to date. But I think we're both still receptive to him being that guy. But if it doesn't come this year, there's going to be major question marks. And there's already question marks about Bradley Chubb. But they'll just be in bold and italicized.
That's right. It's time to go out there and do it. And, you don't want to start the year rehabbing and nursing an injury, especially in his situation. So hopefully it's not a big deal. But, I would say there has to be some concern because of his history, what he's been dealing with last year, this past year. It is the opposite ankle. So, I think that's good news, right?
I think.
We'll follow it and hopefully he can get out there here soon and we don't even notice it. But it's a big year for him. We got to see Chubb and Miller on the field together. Got to.
They had the graphic up there this past weekend. The production when they're not out there together and when they're out there. And it is a scale that tilts seriously in one direction. All right. George Payton Broncos general manager making an appearance on The Fan last night.
What?
Yeah?
Huh?
Take a dive into it coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I got to read you one quick text from our buddy Stephen Priest. He used to be the producer of the show for a few years.
SP!
SP! He said, he texted, he said, Bowles needs to start using his healing powers for good and heal Chubb instead of evil and fighting him all the time.
I like it. That's good. That's really good. I see you, Stephen, out of left field. That is very true because, you know, Bowles miraculously healing himself.
He did.
A few years ago when he got carted off.
He did.
Never missed a practice or anything.
He was waving goodbye to the
fans. Yeah, like it was over. It was over.
He was back in practice on Wednesday.
Yeah, perfect.
Carted off.
So he does have a special.
He does.
Healing power.
Yep.
You know, so yeah, maybe it. Make amends with Chubb by healing Bradley Chubb. I like that. That like would that. Be good. That'd be good for all of us.
I love it. I love it. George Payton on with Nick and Cecil last night. Broncos general manager on The Fan airwaves. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. This is him, George, talking about how the Broncos need to set a winning standard.
You know, it's very important. You know, we need to set the winning standard, you know, and obviously they haven't won here in 5 years. I think it was really important to have a successful preseason. You know, I know it's preseason, but winning is contagious, and we played very well, offense, defense, need to improve on special teams, but I think it's contagious. We need to get off to a good start this season. We've struggled out of the gate the last couple of years, and so I think winning breeds that, Nico, and, you know, I think we're on the right track.
Gave him a Nico.
Nico? Who's Nico?
Gave him a Nico.
Oh, Nico.
Talking about setting the winning standard. It was interesting at the start of that soundbite. Did you catch it?
Yeah, I think I did. What are you talking about?
When he's talking about the past losing seasons, they.
They.
That's not on my resume.
Right. But then later on, he said we.
He did.
He said we got it, you know.
He did.
But he did say that.
Yeah.
He said, you know, they haven't had a winning season in 5 years.
Yeah.
Not we haven't had one in 5 years. That was kind of interesting. Like, hey, you're part of this now.
Yeah.
Are you trying to separate?
This is yours. I mean, this is.
But he's trying to put that, you know, the wall up. You know, it's over there, and then I'm over here.
Right.
You know, 2021 starting over here.
Right.
I'm not part of those on that side over there. Those five losing seasons.
Let me hear the start of that again.
You know, it's very important. You know, we need to set the winning standard, you know, and obviously they haven't won here in 5 years.
There you go. We need to set the winning standard, but they haven't won here in 5 years. All good. Whatever. Yeah. It's just funny.
Yeah, it is.
But it is. He's right. Look, you got to start winning. Like, winning is contagious. It makes you feel good. And I don't care if it's a preseason. When you've been losers and losing a lot, like the Broncos have, then, you know, it's hard to get that ship turned around. And it's a culture thing. And, you know, if you can win games in the preseason and try to have a better outlook or whatever it might do for you, that can only help you.
I think winning those preseason games and the fashion that they did it, it's not going to look, ultimately, if they go out and lose games, that's not going to matter.
Right.
Right? But I think it can matter to a footnote degree. Like, it has been as bad around here as we've ever seen in the Broncos NFL existence. So I'm looking for anything to draw from that could help get this ship turned around.
Either win or lose.
That's it.
So if you win and you've been losing a lot, that it can't hurt you.
Can't hurt, right?
Can't hurt you. Can't hurt you at all. And I think it just says, I think it says that they have better depth here now. This football team when you look at the 53 is better equipped to go through a full football season and deal with some injuries and deal with different things and be able to still win football games. I think that's what it speaks to. So like you said, it doesn't, you know, it's not going to beat the New York Giants. just because you won three preseason games. Nobody cares. No. We've seen teams go 4-0 and then stink. And these teams go 0-4 and be really good. So it doesn't really matter. But I just think there's a positivity there that, you know, winning is contagious. And if you can build that culture, hey, we just win. You know, that's what we do. We win. That's a good thing.
But it doesn't. It's not gonna matter if you don't go out there and it doesn't translate. Right. You know, we're gonna look back. You remember Vance Joseph's first
that's
year?
That's right.
4-0 in the preseason. Went 5-11. So, and I've heard the other show has mentioned the 0-16 Browns were perfect in the preseason. 0-16 Lions were perfect in the preseason. Mm. So, it's you know, we'll see if it translates. This is more from
thanks
George
for sharing that. I mean, trying to be positive here and, you know, optimistic and like, yeah, no, it means a lot. It's going to help build this culture. And then you just like,
oh, context matters. Just trying to.
Sometimes it doesn't matter. Sometimes leave it out so we can just be positive.
All right.
Okay. Some awareness. For you on if you were ever in Madden would have been 20.
I don't know about that.
20 awareness.
This is more from George Payton last night on The Fan. Talking about Teddy Bridgewater and the dynamic between the quarterback and the youth of this offense.
Yeah, I mean, we had a great quarterback competition, you know, with Drew and Teddy. Thought they brought out the best in each other. I think it's the best each of them have played. You know, this is the best I've seen Drew Locke play. It's the best Teddy's played since he was a Pro Bowl player. I think people forget he was a Pro Bowl quarterback. He took the Vikings to the playoffs. You know, they're 11-5. You know, had almost a career-ending injury. Came back, went 5-0 in New Orleans. Carolina, he started off really good, then hurt his knee, and they struggled a little bit. But this guy's a winner. He's a winner. He's a leader, you know, and we have a young offense. And when you look at Judy's 22, Hamler's 22, we got a young center. We have a young offense overall, 21-year-old Javonte Williams. And a guy like Teddy can bring these guys together, stabilize this offense. Teddy moves the team. And I think you'll be happy. Like I'm excited to see Teddy go out there week one. And like I said, Teddy's going to a winner and he's going to lead us this year.
Well, I mean, that was one of my main arguments for Teddy, right?
I thought of you during the soundbite.
Did you?
Yep.
I said, you know, they need an adult running that ship and a lot of youth there. And I thought that was one of the reasons why Teddy would win, because you need a grown-up in that room, a guy that's been around the block. You know, you can't have a youngster that's just, it's, you know, trying to lead other youngsters. It's just, that's not ideal. That's not what you want. But if you have a grown-up and a guy that's been through the fire, been through adversity, seen a lot, that's who you want leading the young guys. And George Payton talked about it there. I thought that was going to be one of the reasons why Teddy got it. But certainly, look, Teddy's been through it all. He's seen it all, done it all. And I think he, you know, like George said, was the right fit here.
We'll see how it shakes out. We got about 10 days you know, talk about it, then we'll be evaluating it, you know, and he says Teddy's a winner. Technically, it's true. Teddy Bridgewater has a winning record as a starting quarterback. Now, it's not anything crazy. He's 26-23 as a starting quarterback. So we'll see if he can build on it here, starting in just a couple days.
I mean, we'll take 9-8.
You know,
no.
I still feel conflicted about this because saying we'll take 9-8 sounds so
that's a winner.
Pedestrian.
That's a winner, though.
I understand.
You know what's pedestrian, Zach? Stinking 5-11.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's true. I don't want to.
7-9 or this year 7-10. You know what I mean? That to me, I mean, it's been bad. Like 9-8's a winner, buddy.
But is that the goal? Is the goal to be 9-8?
No. I mean, the goal is, you know, to be better than that. But I'm saying, I would take it. Do I hope they're better? Could I see them being, you know, a game or two better? Yeah, sure. I mean, they could get to 10. They could get to 10. 11? You know, that's pushing it. But, I mean, that would be awesome. But if you tell me now, hey, they were 9-8, I'm like, okay. All right. There was a lot of good things that happened this year. If we're a 9-8 football team, we can't forget where we've been, right? Don't forget the past. I mean, what's been our record the last, you know, since after 2016, 17, 18, 19, 20, the last 4 years? What?
5-11, 6-10, 7-9, 5-11.
Right. So now 9-8 is not good enough. You know, that's a James Merrilat right there. That's a James Merrilat.
Well,
you know, James is like, no, that's the worst thing. I'd rather be, 4-11 or whatever. It's 4-13.
That sounds weird, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Merrilat's saying, though. I mean, he is saying that, 9-8 is like the worst thing for the Broncos to be. Give them 4 or 5 wins over 9-8. And I'm like, you're crazy.
I do agree with James in one regard.
One, what?
When it comes to this season.
A2, Zach?
And
Zachary David?
As it relates to Vic Fangio. And I'll relay it to you coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.